This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
The annual Rich States, Poor States report provides a snapshot into how well each of the 50 states are doing in a wide range of factors affecting economic competitiveness. Jonathan Williams is chief economist and executive vice president at the American Legislative Exchange Council. He is co-author of the report and joins us now with details. Jonathan, the annual Rich States, Poor States report. Tell us a bit about the history of the report. How long have you been doing it, and who all are contributors to the report?
Exciting new report out with Rich States, Poor States. We've got some great new rankings to help everybody think about how your state ranks versus the other 49 in terms of important categories as we talk about taxes and regulation and labor policy in the report. And when you look at the states that are doing it the best, and you know, the reason we put this together 16 years ago was to give state lawmakers this guide. And we believe in these ideas of the 50 laboratories of democracy, that states are inherently in competition for jobs and for individuals as people continue to vote with their feet across states, and capital also is going across state lines, is figuring out what is the best policy mix in order to attract businesses and people and capital. And turns out the 15 variables that we measure to get these economic outlook scores in Rich States, Poor States that we're going to talk about here today is things that we know matter for economic growth. But then secondly, they're things that state policymakers in Harrisburg or the other 49 state capitals directly control. And so this year, Utah ranked number one for the 16th year in a row. In fact, we were just out in Utah as we launched this new ranking just a number of days ago to help celebrate that. And there's so many good, I think, policy takeaways from how Utah has been able to both rank number one and then retain that number one ranking now for over a decade and a half. Things like tackling pension liabilities, something that really does perplex many state policymakers, and these liabilities are huge future property tax increases waiting to happen across states in the country. And things like looking at the flat tax, certainly that's something Pennsylvania already does, but Utah moved to a flat tax recently. They've also looked at ways to get property taxes under control. And so Utah's just a huge success story over these last 16 years at the top economic outlook in America. They're followed by North Carolina, Arizona, Idaho, and Oklahoma, the top five states. And then at the bottom of the index, bringing up the rear, we have New York at 50th out of 50. So if you all in Pennsylvania ever feel bad about your ranking, as we're going to talk about here in a second, you can always compare yourself to New York to feel a little bit better about how Pennsylvania is doing. But then Vermont, Minnesota, New Jersey, and Illinois, no real surprises there. A lot of big government, high tax states around out the bottom five this year, Loman.
And Pennsylvania came in, where?
Pennsylvania comes in 35 for economic outlook this year, and that's been fairly consistent. Pennsylvania's been in the mid to high 30s for the last number of years, so certainly not the worst in the New York, New Jersey range, but certainly a whole lot of areas for improvement there on how to really turn things around. And you know, we look at the outlook, as we've been talking about, but in Rich States, Poor States, we also have a way, we call it the economic performance ranking, is a backwards-looking measure that goes back the last 10 years to give us a historical sense of, given the policy environment that's been in place over the last decade in Pennsylvania and other states, how has that actually brought about economic growth or lack of growth? And this is the more concerning part of the ranking for Pennsylvania. And as you go to richstatespoorstates.org or alec.org to view the report, you'll see this, that Pennsylvania ranks 46th when it comes to economic performance rank. And that's things like, what is the gross state domestic product? The overall economic growth of a state. You know, what is the absolute domestic migration as Americans are going from state to state and voting with their feet? Are they coming into Pennsylvania or out of? In the case of Pennsylvania, we've lost nearly 250,000 on net over the last decade alone of people moving out of Pennsylvania to one of the other 49 states. And then it's things like job growth. Pennsylvania's job growth has been way under the national average at 2% over the last decade. That ranks 43rd out of the 50 states. So certainly some areas of concern, especially on the economic performance side, and a whole lot of areas of improvement when you look at the policy environment as well.
We are talking with Jonathan Williams from the American Legislative Exchange Council. We're talking about the annual Rich States, Poor States report. It ranks economic competitiveness among the 50 states, where Pennsylvania only ranking down there in the mid-30s, not doing real well. So, Jonathan, you said you have 15 different metrics that are included in how you determine these rankings. Taking a look specifically at Pennsylvania, can you tell us a little bit more about which metrics we are vastly underperforming the rest of the country in?
Several do stick out in that regard, Loman, and you look at some really important variables. Of the 15, I think you look at income tax rates on personal and corporate as two of the most important. Things like the death tax, it's things like right-to-work status. Those are, I think, several of the most important of the variables. And unfortunately, in Pennsylvania's case, those are some of the weakest variables for Pennsylvania. If you look at the right-to-work status, that is, should someone have to join a union to be employed in that particular business place or that industry? This is something that across the Midwest, we've seen states move in the last decade to become right-to-work states as they hear from employers saying, we won't even consider in some cases your state for a job site or for a new factory or for a new business opportunity unless you're a right-to-work state. It's a yes or no variable in that case. And that, unfortunately, is something that Pennsylvania still lags behind. Even as neighboring states like West Virginia and Kentucky and Indiana have become right-to-work states in the last 10 years. You look at the business income tax, which there's been some progress made on a current law and phasing down that rate over quite a few number of years. And that's, you know, important progress, I think, to be made if it actually happens. Those long phase-ins, sometimes it can get very risky for taxpayers if a rainy day comes and, you know, it's decided that needs to be paused for whatever reason. But the Pennsylvania business income tax rate, when you add in the state and the local rates, is the second highest in the country. Only one state in America has a higher business tax rate than Pennsylvania when you go all in on state and local. And then you look at, for a state to still have a death tax or an inheritance tax in this day and age, when we've seen almost all the states repeal theirs because they want to keep their wealthy residents there to be taxpayers in their state versus other states after they retire, it's really a piece of economic malpractice for states still to have a death tax on the books. So if you were going to look at the areas that I think need the most improvement, those would be the areas I would start in out of the 15.
Are there any areas where Pennsylvania is doing reasonably well?
Yeah, there are a few there as well, and this is what Pennsylvania out of the bottom 10, for instance. So you look at having a flat tax is very important. Over the last year, we've had really a flat tax revolution happen across America as states decided they want to get rid of penalizing people the more successful they are in their state, and they want to make sure that their state is a place when you're successful that you decide to stay and you put down your roots and you raise a family there and you grow a business in your state. And the flat tax is a great way to do that. We've seen five states in the last year become flat tax states to try to follow the lead of the states that either go without income taxes or have a low flat rate like Pennsylvania, at least at the state level. Now, this gets complicated when you add in some of the local income taxes in places like Philadelphia, let's say, that really do hurt Pennsylvania's ranking in that regard. But having a flat tax is an important component of being a competitive state economy. And then you look at things like not going above and beyond when it comes to the minimum wage and charging something beyond the federal minimum wage. That's important. You see some states looking at becoming $15 or $28 an hour minimum wage states. And of course, when you talk to small businesses or individuals looking to enter the job market for the very first time, that can be an inhibiting factor of not having job opportunities if the minimum wage is too high in a state. So those are two of the areas that stand out. And, you know, there are several others. Sales tax burdens is not exorbitant in Pennsylvania relative to other states. And so it's not without having some positives in this report. But like I said, these are the factors of why Pennsylvania is not in the New Jersey or the New York category towards the bottom of the ranking.
Looking at the top five states, top 10 states in your ranking, Jonathan, are there any specific policies where they excel that put them in that top tier?
You look at the top five or 10 states, and they've got an overarching philosophy, I think, of keeping a prudent handle on their budgeting, because when you get budgeting right and you get the spending side of the equation right and you don't overspend, this is Thomas Sowell, one of the great economists, put it this way, the first law of economics is you have a scarcity of resources. We don't have everything we want, right? That's where we have to economize. But the first law of politics, he says, is to ignore the first law of economics. And that's where states get into trouble. When you look at the top end of the rankings here, Lohman, as they you see these states that have a strong strategy that really have a concentration on keeping spending limited and watching that so it's not getting overextended. And then when the rainy day comes, they're not put into this crisis mode to have to raise taxes.
Jonathan Williams from the American Legislative Exchange Council. We've been talking about the latest edition of Rich States, Poor States. And Jonathan, tell us a bit about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. And once again, give us the website where folks can go to read Rich States, Poor States.
Well, they can go to richstatespoorstates.org as well as ALEC.org to get a free download of the new rankings. But ALEC has been around. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year of trusted policy solutions that we work with men and women that are serving in the state legislative bodies across the country to really come up and believe that the ideas and the solutions to our problems are not going to come from a central big government here in Washington, D.C., but from the states and from local units of government and, of course, the people themselves. And so free markets, limited government, and federalism. Those are the three guiding ALEC principles. We've been at this for 50 years to develop those trusted policy solutions, and we look forward to the next 50 years ahead, working to empower individuals and empower free markets across the states.
Jonathan Williams from the American Legislative Exchange Council. As always, Jonathan, good to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Lohman.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.